Hello, I'm Raymond Benson, and I'd like to welcome you to Bond Music 101. Class is now in session.
$267,000.
I'll settle for one dance with Domino.
Can you play any other tune?
Something we're making for the Americans. Called the Ghetto Blaster.
May I cut in?
That's the cello!
Play it again, Sam. It's a charming tune.
Hello and welcome to the third episode of Raymond Benson's Bond Music 101. I am one of your hosts, Jared Albrick, a.k.a. the Yard Sale Artist, and we're here today to have multi-Bond novel author Raymond Benson enlighten us on the history and scores and soundtracks of the 007 universe. But before we get to Professor Benson himself, let me introduce my co-host for this episode, my best friend of all time, Alan J. Porter. What's going on, Alan?
Thank you, Jared. That's really gilding the lily, isn't it?
Hey, woo!
Yeah. Good to be back on the show and looking forward to this one. I guess we have a car pressing engagement on the table to discuss the laser focused music of Goldfinger.
Oh, I'm loving it. You're tickling me right in my tummy feathers.
So now we need to calm down and sit at our desks and let the professor himself, Mr. Raymond Benson, introduce us to Bond Music 101 on the awesome soundtrack that is Goldfinger.
Well, thank you very much, guys. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on. And it's always fun to talk about Bond music. I think I mentioned before in one of our last pieces, I can't remember which episode it was, but my first introduction to James Bond was the soundtrack of Goldfinger. I was living in Odessa, Texas, and I was just a kid, and I was friends with these two girls that lived next door, and their mother, who went by the name of M, I kid you not, the letter M, she was playing one day the soundtrack to Goldfinger, and I kind of stuck my head up and went, God, what is that music? What is this? This is cool. And I went in there, and I looked on their stereo and looked at the album cover, and I'm going, what is this? And the mom said, oh, that's the movie that's playing. And I liked it so much, I went out and bought the record. I went, oh, gosh, and listening to it, and I thought it was really cool. So I went home and told my dad, I said, I want to go see this movie. Anyway, okay. And so that was it, you know. She corrupted my life.
In a most wonderful of ways.
Yes. Yes. Goldfinger then was the first Bond movie I ever saw on the big screen. And then a few months later, the double feature re-release of the first two came out. So I saw the first three in 6 months. So I was indoctrinated in a big way. All right. So the music, you know, the producers, Cubby Broccoli and Harry Saltzman, they were very happy with John Barry's score for From Russia with Love. And in the interim of those couple of years of 63 and 64, he was doing other things, like he did the score for Zulu. And in fact, he was really good friends with Michael Caine. They were both bachelors at this time, and Michael Caine was his roommate. Michael Caine had crashed and he was looking for a place to live or something. And he asked, apparently, this is the story I've read, that Michael Caine asked John Barry, hey, can I crash on your sofa for a couple of nights? And he ended up staying 6 months.
I have the same plan with Alan.
apparently, Caine has said that he was the very first person to hear the theme song for Goldfinger, because he would have to listen to John Barry picking it out on the piano at home when he was composing it. And then one morning he was playing the final sort of song, and Michael Caine says, is that the new Bond theme? And, and he went, yes, it is. I should probably shout out my reference sources, you know, come from a lot of different books on Bond, but also, you know, I got to give a big nod to John Burlingame and his Music of James Bond book, which is very, very informative. A lot of the stories I retell here might have come from that book. Okay, so the producers are very happy with Barry's score, and they said, okay, we want you to do the next one. And he actually said, well, I want to do the theme song this time, because in From Rush With Love, Lionel Bart did it. And by now, you know, I mean, Barry still had not really done a vocal hit song, although he had had some instrumentals. But I think they trusted him enough now to do it, as long as he got some good lyricists and so forth. Well, he asked his friend Leslie Bracussi to do the lyrics. They were, you know, like, what's this song? What's this going to be about? Goldfinger, you know, well, it's about the villain. I forget who it was, but somebody reminded John Barry of the song Mack the Knife that was written by Kurt Vile for the Three Penny Opera with lyrics by Bertolt Brecht. And that's a song about a villain, you know, and kind of Barry went, oh, that makes sense. I get it now. Leslie Bracussi talked his buddy, Anthony Newley, to come in and help with the lyrics. So they came up with the song Goldfinger. Now, I want to start off our musical program with what we first hear in the movie, though. And that is sort of a reprise of the James Bond theme written by Monty Norman, filtered through a John Barry funnel, kicking off the movie to remind viewers who saw the first two that we're back with James Bond. And so we needed a very dynamic gun barrel piece. And I've got to say, to date, this arrangement of the Bond theme during the gun barrel is my favorite. It's so there, you know.
It's very bold.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the way it kind of goes into the whole pre-credit sequence is very, with all the vibes, the vibraphone stuff and the strings, it just gives it this sort of mysterious quality that we hadn't really gotten yet. So let's hear Bond back in action again, and then we'll talk about the theme from Goldfinger.
I know Alan liked that sneaky Bond.
Yeah. Don't go back to your hotel, Senor. They'll be watching. Great stuff.
Can I just go back to what you said about the gun barrel? It's interesting because on the review show that Van Allen, Plexico and I do, as we've been going our way through the movies, I think pretty much for every one, we said that the gun barrel never quite lives up to what's in our imagination. The score for the gun barrel never quite meets what we're expecting. We always feel a little disappointed. And we sort of came to the conclusion that maybe that's because we have an idealized gun barrel sequence in our mind that doesn't actually exist. But having listened to this over and over again in prep for this show, I think it's maybe because the perfect gun barrel sequence happened so early. It was the third one that nothing after it really matches up to it. Hence that feeling of disappointment with every gun barrel sequence following this one.
That's right. Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think we hear the guitar riff at any other time in this movie.
Ooh, you may be right.
Yeah.
Now we do hear, you know, that part of the theme, but I don't think we hear the any other time.
Can't say I noticed its absence, but I'm going to have to listen out for that next time I watch the movie.
All right. So back to the main theme. You know, at this time in cinema history, you know, they weren't really looking for hire the artist and they get to bring their own song. They have the score writer write the song and then they find an artist to sing it. Well, to demonstrate the piece to the producers, John Barry and Leslie Bracussi and Anthony Newley, they recorded a demo with Anthony Newley singing. And this is a kind of an oddity. This track appeared on the 30th anniversary collection that came out in 1992. And I don't think it's been seen or heard since. But it is a unique little novelty to hear Anthony Newley sing the theme from Goldfinger. So let's take a listen to it, because this is what the producers heard first when Barry presented the theme song to them.
Goldfinger is the man with the Midas touch, a spider's touch, such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. But don't go in. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you fear. For a golden girl knows when he's kissed her, it's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you fear. For a golden girl knows when he's kissed her, it's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. He loves only gold, only
Well, you can't get more ultra lounge than that.
Yeah, it sounds like a real cabaret number to start with, isn't it? The low sort of slow jazz number, but then sort of ends up being screaming match at the end. It's a real strange demo.
And I like the bongos.
Yeah. Lots of bongos. Is this the only demo track that's sort of been released?
That's the only one I know of. Yeah, sure. So, you know, I think the producers were kind of, well, I know Cubby was intrigued. Saltzman apparently hated it. He really did not like it. But Barry said, wait till I arrange it for the orchestra and let's get a good singer. Shirley Bassey kind of came to the forefront of possibilities very early. She was kind of the new flavor of the day in 1964. Barry thought, you know, she'd be perfect for it. They did record it with Shirley Bassey and nobody else. And I know Shirley was going, well, I don't know how to do this. What's this song about? You know, again, you know, about the villain. He just told her, just get out there and sell it. Just give it all you've got. And she does. And it's just incredible, her performance on this track. If she doesn't know what she's talking about, she sure fooled us.
Heck yes. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. Now, a bit of trivia. Vic Flick is on. I know he's on the score. I'm not sure if he's on this track because Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, or well, in a few years, he'd be part of Led Zeppelin. But Jimmy Page was a session musician at the time, and he was hired, and he is playing guitar on the track, the Shirley Bassey track of Goldfinger.
Wow, I did not know that.
And also, John Paul Jones is playing bass, and he would be in Led Zeppelin in a few years. Now, John Paul Jones, his real name is John Baldwin, and I met John Baldwin, John Paul Jones, in London at an art gallery show of a friend of mine. And this was actually the same week that I was in London when I played the piano at John Barry's tribute that I talked about last time. This was the same week. Well, I met John Paul Jones and, you know, I was the Bond author at the time. And he actually, you know, engaged me in conversation and said, well, I have something to tell you about James Bond. I went, what? And he says, well, I played bass on the track of Shirley Bassey's Goldfinger, as did Jimmy Page. And I'm going, what? You're kidding. That's amazing. You know? Wow. So, yeah. So let's listen to Goldfinger with Shirley Bassey, Jimmy Page, and John Paul Jones.
Do you have any more amazing stories from that week before we proceed? Or
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Now, Into Miami, I should say, I love this piece. It's too short.
Absolutely, 100%.
I would agree with that, yes.
Oh, man, I wish there was a little more of this stuff in other parts of the movie because it's a terrific piece. Just it swings, oh, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, let's do it.
All right, Goldfinger and then Into Miami.
A cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. But don't go in. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you feel. Kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you feel. Kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart.
Oh, man, just makes me want to go swim on an ice skate at the same time.
Actually makes me want to watch the movie again.
Yeah. An amazing piece just for a couple of establishing shots of a hotel. I mean, just going back to the Shirley Bassey thing, and you mentioned the Led Zeppelin. There was another sort of pop group connection there that the producer in their booth was a Mr. George Martin for that.
Was it?
Yeah, that's where I've sort of read somewhere that George Martin was actually produced the session. So
I will have to go back to Mr. Burlingame's book to check that.
Okay, I read that.
You could be right. I'm not contradicting you.
No, I just come in from my Beatles research as opposed to my Bonds research.
Wow.
And then there's the story, I don't know if it's apocryphal, about Shirley Bassey's trick to hit that last note.
What is that?
That she basically had to divest herself of her bra.
Yes, that's in the...
It was the only way she could hear that note, yes.
Yes, I've heard that. She had to do that. Uh-huh. And I think she stepped behind a little something to, you know, hide her from the orchestra and then put her shirt back on and came out and did it. Yeah. That's cool. All right. So, yeah, that was a separate session from the rest of the score. You know, he didn't do the rest of the score until, you know, the movie was put together. Like most film composers, they have to rush in the last, you know, couple of weeks to get a score and sync it to the scenes that they're going to do it and record it. It's one of the final stages of making a movie. So, yeah, everything else we're going to hear was recorded at a later date. Now, the next piece, interestingly, the soundtrack records, the one released in America and the one released in the UK, they were different. Kind of like happened with the Beatles early records. You know, the UK Beatles albums were tracked differently than the United States Beatles albums up until Sgt. Pepper. The Goldfinger US release left off four tracks and put in a track of Goldfinger instrumental, which was released as a single. The UK version had the four tracks, but it didn't have the instrumental single version. So for collectors, you had to get both. If you knew that. I didn't really know that until like the 80s. And then I learned about it. And I went, oh, I got to get the import. And then finally, now we have the remastered CD that has everything. The missing four tracks plus the instrumental and all the original tracks on it.
What was the missing four tracks?
Golden Girl, The Laser Beam, Pussy Galore's Flying Circus, and I don't have it in front of me, so I can't remember the fourth one.
But it was 100% that's passing in this class.
Yeah, that's passing grade. We'll give you that one.
Yeah. They were all short pieces. So Golden Girl contains what I call the odd job theme. It's not formal. It's not formally the odd job theme. But you'll notice that every time odd job kind of appears, especially in the early part of the movie and in the later part of the movie, we hear a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
We hear a triangle go ding, ding, ding. That's the odd job theme.
I concur.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny that this little instrument, a triangle, is associated with odd job, who is such a menacing character. That it works. It works beautifully. And let me just back up just a second and talk about the Goldfinger theme. I want to say that, in my opinion, of course, this is the quintessential main title theme for a Bond movie.
Seconded.
I would agree it's the quintessential, but it's not my favorite.
Well, it is my favorite. It is my favorite theme. I wouldn't say the same about the entire score, but as far as a main title, yeah, I think it really captures what the Bond thing was. And even John Barry has been quoted as saying that it's what defined Bond music from then on, you know, and it's been parodied forever. You know, just look at Weird Al Yankovic. And
yeah, I mean, I think like the rest of the movie, it provided the blueprint for the franchise and every pretty much most aspects of the franchise going forward. So
Yeah. All right. Let's listen to Golden Girl. Now, this is, of course, when Bond discovers, first he's knocked out. We see Oddjob's hand coming onto the screen, and that's where we hear his little theme song with the triangle. Then he discovers Jill painted gold on the bed.
Thank you.
And we pick up with him talking to Bond there in the office. The other track that was left off of the U.S. release was Death of Tilly.
Always find it interesting that this is the first time I ever noticed it. And I don't know if it was the first time it had been done, that really a villain, and not even the main villain, but sort of the sidekick, actually got a musical theme of their own that ran through the movie, like a sort of a visual clue. Even before we met him was interesting, as you said, because we sort of heard it when all we'd seen was a shadow and a hand. Mm-hmm. And then they used it later on when he was actually introduced that they used a musical cue to connect the fact that it was a job in that potentially painted the Golden Girl. So, I thought it was interesting that they actually used that musical cue as a storytelling technique later on in the movie. So.
And they use it at Fort Knox as well, at the night.
Yeah.
So very ingenious of Mr. Barry, I think. Now, our next piece is really two pieces, again, segging in from one to the other. The first one, Alpine Drive, is a perfect example of how Barry would take the theme song, the main title theme, and turn it into a lush, sweeping, gorgeous, romantic theme played with strings in his inimitable way that is one of his signatures. This version of the Goldfinger theme is so lovely. It's, of course, when Bond is driving through Switzerland in the Aston Martin. And then the Oryx factory is sneaky Bond music again, where he's, you know, snooping around the factory there in Switzerland, peeking in windows and figuring out how the gold is being smuggled. And it ends with him tripping the wire and the alarm going off. So let's take a listen to this.
Thank you.
It's got to be difficult to write that kind of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many moods in that piece. As you said, yeah. From that sweeping score to the close atmospheric stuff at the end. Very evocative piece.
Yeah. Moving on. This next piece we're going to play is just one of my favorites in the whole Goldfinger score. Oddjob's Pressing Engagement. This blends the Goldfinger theme with the James Bond theme. And it's done so masterfully. In fact, I don't know if you noticed, but in the Goldfinger theme, he does pay homage to the James Bond theme with the da, 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 those notes in the verses. He's very clever at doing that. This is such a dynamic piece. It comes at a really interesting part of the movie with Oddjob taking Mr. Solo to the car wreck place. Felix Leiter and his buddy, you know, tracking him. Bond is, you know, not even in the scene. He's way back at the horse stud ranch. If you took out the music for this scene, it would not be a very interesting scene. You would just have cars driving by. Next time you watch the scene, turn off the sound. And just watch the scene. And there's nothing to it, really. you see a full front shot of Oddjob driving the car with Solo in the backseat. And you see a shot of Felix Leiter and his buddy. And a car goes by. And then another car goes by. A car turns right. A car turns left. Da 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 da. It's all it is. But this music makes it exciting.
I think that's true. A lot of Barry scores. I mean, Barry scores make Bond walking across a hotel lobby exciting.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it just goes to show that music, period, can change a movie. If you took, you know, John Williams' score of Star Wars out of that movie, it would be a very different movie. So, yeah, let's listen to Oddjob's Pressing Engagement.
Thrill as Oddjob gets gas in the car.
Where you been, Ajab? Oh, had to stop at Shell.
Or KFC on his way home.
Right. That's right. Gotta get that KFC.
All right. Good stuff. Now, Pussy Galore's Flying Circus. This was one of the tracks that had been left off of my original soundtrack. So I first, you know, realized it was a track in the 80s when I got the import. Nice little piece. Short and sweet and different from what we've heard so far. So let's hear it.
Track went like a dream, Skipper.
Had those sexy brass, yeah, sexy muted trumpets to indicate sexy ladies. I just realized we played that track out of sequence, out of chronological order. It really should have come before Odd Job's Pressing Engagement, because this sequence happened in the movie before that. But yeah, oh well, that's when we see the other pilots. Odd Job takes Bond away to the stud farm. And we heard his little theme again.
Yep.
It's funny how those trumpets there at the end with the muted wah 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 thing just sort of just signifies, you know, sexy.
We know what's going on in the screen at that moment.
Yeah, I know. But when did that start?
I don't know.
In oral suggestion. Was it before the 60s? I don't know. It seemed to have started around this time, you know, with the whole Bond sassy sound. Maybe it was. Hmm. I don't know. All right. Dawn Raid on Fort Knox. This one is a little long. This is kind of an epic piece. Probably, I think, the longest Bond piece that Barry has written up to this point for the movies. It accompanies the initial part of the attack on Fort Knox. Basically, when Goldfinger and his troops have gassed all the soldiers and they're, you know, driving up to the place and blowing up the electrified fence and getting in to blow open the vault and open it up. That's where all this takes place. Further music appears on the soundtrack with Arrival of the Bomb and Countdown. That's another completely other track. But this one just starts very sinisterly soft, but it has this sort of march quality, this military quality to it that's really builds tension all the way through it. Starts small, but then it starts getting big and big and big. It just, it works beautifully. It's Barry at his best, in my opinion. So let's hit her.
We'll be right back.
I love the part that goes. I always find that when I hear that, my head shakes to that rhythm. It's very cool. And this leads us to our final number. The instrumental version of Goldfinger was not heard in the movie, but it was released as a single. And it appears on the soundtrack album, the original one in America, but not the one in the UK. I love it. I think it's really cool. And it's got Dick Flick on the guitar, same guy that did the Bond theme. It's just a terrific, new, different arrangement of the song. I love it. Let's hear it.
I'm not sure when I actually originally heard that song, but for years I thought it was a cover version by The Shadows.
Yeah, I know. It does sound like The Shadows. It's kind of more like the John Barry 7, only with an orchestra too.
Yeah.
The first three notes of the Goldfinger song. Dun, da, dun. Barry was always perturbed that some people would go, la, da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. It's the same three notes as Moon River. The same three notes that starts Moon River. Moon River, Gold Speaker.
Dang, Raymond Benson.
Wasn't there a court case about that?
No, there was not.
All right, I thought I'd read somewhere, but maybe I missed
something. Not that I know of. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
If Henry Mancini noticed it, then I think he was a sport about it. So.
Okay.
Now, the Goldfinger soundtrack in America went to number one. It's the only Bond soundtrack album that went to the top of the charts. I believe that it's the first score of a movie that ever got to number one up to that point that wasn't a musical. It knocked off the number one slot, Mary Poppins. So that was up on number one first, you know, before it. But then Goldfinger snuck up and knocked Mary Poppins off the pedestal.
Chim, chiminy, chim, chiminy, chim, chim, cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be.
And Goldfinger was number one for about 3 weeks, I think. That's a milestone.
Very cool.
I don't know how well it did in the UK, though.
Let's see if we can find out.
Alan, we need you to speak for the entire United Kingdom, sir.
Yeah, well, I do that all the time. No, I've only got the Billboard chart position, so okay. Obviously, Wikipedia does not stoop so low as to note the British chart position. So.
After the song became a hit to number one, Harry Saltzman finally had to admit, okay, it's a good song. But he didn't give the kind of trouble he gave to John Barry over the song as he did for Diamonds Are Forever, which we'll talk about
We'll get to a few episodes.
Yeah. So
one of the things I really like about this track, and I sort of notice it with the Barry scores going forward, is Barry's skill at making things that don't have a sound have a sound that runs through the movie. Like the sort of the big brassy score here is very sort of makes you think about metal and stuff like that. And then when we get into the others, you know, Thunderball sounds like water and sort of, you know, diamonds. For some reason, he manages to make a sound that evokes diamonds, even though diamonds don't make
it. Yeah, he has, you know, this oriental stuff going on with the Only Live Twice thing.
Nice, yeah. But I think the big brassy score here, really, I think is the first indication of that. And so you only really have to hear a couple of notes from any of the tracks on this score to instantly recognize which movie it's from. So,
right. Yeah. Okay, there we have it. That's Goldfinger. I think I mentioned last time, the more we go on this, there are less interesting historical stories about the making of the scores as there were in the very first episode, Dr. No, which I maintain has the most interesting history behind it. But, you know, we'll plug along and continue and at least listen to a lot of good tracks of music while we go on. And for our next one, we're going to do Thunderball.
Cool. What was your sort of favorite track that we discussed today, Raymond? I'm guessing probably the theme song?
Well, probably so, yeah. The main theme, the main title, Goldfinger, and Into Miami. But I got to say, Oddjob's pressing engagement is pretty awesome.
What about you, Jared?
I'm going to go with Mr. Benson on this one. I mean, we talked about Shirley Bassey's Goldfinger being maybe the most iconic Bond song. I'll bump that up a level. That might be the most iconic... one of the most iconic film songs with lyrics of all times. I honestly believe that. But yeah, I'm with Raymond, like Shirley Bassey's Goldfinger, I like Into Miami. And I'm really glad that he put me onto that Anthony Newley track. That was a fun listen. What about you, my friend?
Yeah, like I said, the Shirley Bassey track is not my favorite Bond theme song, but I think it is the quintessential blueprint for the Bond songs going forward. But actually, Into Miami, I think, is the one that always makes me smile.
Oh, yeah.
I just conjures up the start of the movie. You know what's coming. I really love that track. That's probably the one I picked the needle up and put it back on, trying to find that part of the track over and over again. I just love that sound. I guess that's today's lessons complete. And now, unfortunately, I'm going to pass the baton back to Jared for his so-called bonus track.
Unfortunately. Come on, man.
Well, I've heard it, so...
All right. Well, let me give you a little background on it. Okay, so in 1997, Shirley Bassey recorded a new song with the Propellerheads called History Repeating. If you've never heard it, it's a real jazzy, really fun song. Apparently, she liked working with Propellerheads so much that the Propellerheads did a remix version of Goldfinger that she included on her 2007 Greatest Hits CD release. So today's bonus track is going to be Goldfinger by the Propellerheads. Thank you.
kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger.
So that's the Goldfinger remix by the Propellerheads, endorsed by Miss Shirley Bassey herself on her 2007 Greatest Hit CD. I dig it because I like remixes and things like that, but I have a funny feeling Alan's going to poo-poo it. What do you say, Alan?
It just sounds like a load of extraneous noise stuck on top of a really great track.
Ah, you are no fun, sir. But I.
But I'm an old fart. But no, I did not like it at all.
Raymond, are you going with Team Youthful J-Bone here? Or are you going with Old Fuddy Duddy?
I certainly like the way it began with that sort of syncopated electronic stuff going day to day to day to day to day to day. I can accept remix kind of stuff. It's all right.
I'm calling that Team Jared.
All right, well, I'm going to go shout at kids to get off my lawn.
But you know what? I kind of wish they'd gotten new samples from her. Even with her aging voice, I think it would be more fun, because I will agree with you, Alan. If you're just laying down the audio track, the original one, it kind of makes you want to listen to the original one. So I will side with you on that. Well, that is good stuff. And I'll pass the baton happily back to Alan.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of this episode of Raymond Benson's Music 101. If you've got a question or comment, you can email us at ohmspod@outlook.com or comment on Twitter at ohmspod. Or if you'd like to catch up with us personally on social media, I can be found on Twitter at Alan J. Porter or at Bond Lexicon. Raymond, where can you be found? And I think you have a couple of events coming up.
Yes, on May the 1st, if you're in the Chicago area, I will be at the Arlington Heights Library Wednesday, May the 1st at 7 p.m. doing my famous James Bond phenomenon slideshow lecture, which gives you the life of Ian Fleming, the history of the Bond phenomenon, and my own involvement in the franchise. And that's always a lot of fun, plus a book signing. So there's that. And then on May 15th, in Park Ridge, Illinois, at the historic Pickwick Theater, I will be introducing a 50th anniversary screening of On Her Majesty's Secret Service. And members of the Ian Fleming Foundation will be there with some real props from James Bond movies.
Sounds like everybody's invited but me.
Well, you can come up. you can come up. And, you know, you can find me at RaymondBenson.com. And I'm all over Facebook. I have an author page as well as a personal page. And I'm on Twitter at Raymond Benson.
And having seen the famous slideshow in question, I can highly recommend it. It's a great evening.
Well, thank you.
And Jared, where can we find you?
I am at Yard Sale Artist. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all Yard Sale Artist.
And as always, we have to thank our patrons who support all of our White Rocket podcasts and endeavors. And over to Jared for the ever-growing list.
All right, these are the folks that are getting it done for us and helping us out here at OHMS Pod and our White Rocket endeavors in general. Brandon O'Dwyer, Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, Carl Von Drunker, Phil Amthor, Winston Bodie, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, Ben Spooner, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, Johnny Caldwell, Reynolds Wolf, Joshua Corbett, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Clay Henson, Ann Kangian, Catherine England, George Gaston, Will Summerford, John McCune, Tom Anderson, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, Gerard Albrecht, William Glenn Matthews, Joel Beckham, Theodore Gary, Shannon Butson, Taylor, David Hegler, Mickey B, Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, Tony Perry, Alex Gwynn, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, Dave Powell, Donnie Reynolds, Wade Carson, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Chris Camo, Darren Pyle, Chris, Wardam Wade, Jason Albrecht, Randall Walker, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Steve Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Rains, Nicholas Craig, Russell Milley, Matthew Wagstaff, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, Spanky, Brant Rumble, J.W. Pepper Rice, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, and our one-time and anonymous donors, one of which is not anonymous, it's Surfer Chickify. Well, thanks for joining us for this episode. Check out your scuba tanks, because we'll be back next episode, deep diving into Thunderball. Don't be late to class. All the tracks featured on today's episode, with the exception of the Anthony Newley version of Goldfinger, come from the remastered Goldfinger soundtrack CD. We highly encourage you to legally download the music you heard on today's episode, or go ahead and purchase that CD. Either way, please support the James Bond creative community.
Okay.
Don't get mad at me.
All right. All right.
Yeah, well, great. I got that Benson guy pissed off at me. Yeah, I mean, when I input it on the final edit of the show, I can put the whole track in. But for our listening purposes, we can listen a couple minutes and I can just stop it.
Oh, yeah, let's do that, because I have to start making dinner.
What's for dinner, Raymond?
Turkey burgers, baked potatoes, and broccoli.
Oh, I'm coming around your house. We got some sort of vegetarian thing going tonight. All right. And Alan has forgotten where he's in the script.
You want more or you want to call it?
No, that's good.
Okay. Yeah. I was getting into it.
Yeah, no, it can do that. All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Enjoy your dinner.